Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
Thank you to Lions Radio. I want to talk about risk-taking and how Dan Campbell consistently has gone for it, Perloff, where other coaches on fourth downs and fourth and shorts would not have the guts or the backing of the organization or whatever to feel like they can take these kind of risks. And they are paying off because the Lions now are 12-1. They are on 11-game winning streak. They have the inside track to get the number one seed in the NFC. And beyond that, I think they're intimidating in a way that they have never been before because their head coach will go for it on fourth down at any point, and you have to be on your heels, and he can keep you on your heels.
Yeah, I don't see it that way. I think they have the most talented team because their GM is a Mensa genius who can pick nothing but amazing players. So they line up, and except for the defensive injuries, which I does play into what you're saying a little bit,
yeah.
But they're just the better team. I mean, they are. When you hit on every single draft pick for four straight years and you have superstars, then you bring in guys who contribute, like, they are just so good. Their offensive line combined with those two running backs, combined with those receivers, combined with Jared Goff, is an unstoppable formula. So I just think on if everything else is the same, like, they're the best team. They're the most talented team in the NFL.
So they are, but they were dealing with tons of injuries, especially on the defensive side last night, and they were losing guys during the game as well.
But you say they do it all the time anyway.
I think they do, but I also think, yes, I do think they do it all the time. I think it was particularly helpful last night because Jordan Love got hot in the second half.
I don't think they need, well, first of all, it kind of hurt them a little bit too last night. It because there's risk involved, and they missed one that gave the Packers an easy touchdown. I just think they don't need it. I think that they are the best team, and they should play like it. And they were at home, and they ended up 10-0 in that game. And I was saying to myself, I'm like, why does it feel, it must have been the defense. They're going to let Green Bay right back into this. Jared Goff throws a bad interception.
Yep.
Then they miss a fourth down. Like, they kind of, I don't know. Like, I feel like they play with their food and are giving up their talent advantage by doing dumb things at times.
Yeah, see, I don't see it that way. And I'm not just trying to play the result here. I think they have found an edge. Like, could they win another way? Yeah, I mean, could the Chiefs win without doing trick plays with Patrick Mahomes? Like, yes, I do think they could, but they still do it. I think
that's
that
a good point.
I think it's they feel like they found a secret weapon, and like the Chiefs, I think you and I also don't see this the same way. I think there's a boogeyman aspect to how the Chiefs always pull out these wins, and I think the Lions are developing that same type of intimidating persona because they're going for it. It's almost like it's kamikaze. Like they will go for it. They don't care. They're always going to take this risk, and they'll live with the consequences. And to be fair, you know, last year, the NFC Championship game, that couldn't have been worse, right? You're up to this big lead on the road against the 49ers, and a couple fourth down plays and calls did cost you the game.
Yeah.
And it didn't fracture the team. It didn't put Dan Campbell on the hot seat. It didn't do any of the things that we thought it might do.
It kept them out of the Super Bowl.
but they're right back here and they're stronger now. And so if they end up going to the Super Bowl this year, which it looks like they're going to do, especially if they have the number one seed and home field advantage, then they will have proven that this was the right philosophy.
I'm not sure I see it that way, because I feel like if they didn't do this, then they'd be the Super Bowl favorite and might even be a little heavier. It's not just that, too. There's other things, too. There's this, I don't always trust Jared Goff in big moments. I don't know what it is. Like, you mentioned Patrick Mahomes. Fourth quarter of a big game, like, I know Mahomes is going to deliver. For some reason, I do have a seed of doubt about Jared Goff. I have a seed about Jameson Williams and making a personal foul. I have a big seed of doubt about all these defensive injuries. They looked unbelievable in the first half. They were terrorizing Jordan Love. And then for some reason, the Packers made adjustments and were able to get him. What I do like is the fact that they can run on anybody. And I think the Eagles and the Lions playing the NFC title game, it is going to be a running back off. And whoever controls that game, that's the thing. It's going to be such a thin line. Like, you can't make a mistake if you're Detroit. Like, you have to be very, almost like, you have to control the game. You cannot go for it on fourth down at the 27-yard line and fail.
I know, but listen, John Harbaugh even went for it for a fourth down deep in his own territory. I think sometimes it just calls for it. But Jared Goff had two touchdowns last night that both came on fourth down. And I know he also had a bad pick, but he...
I love the fourth down, but those were deep inside.
Yeah.
That was at the 1 yard line. So if you miss, the Packers have 97 yards in front of them. That's a good situation to be in. When you're at your own 30, if you miss, then the Packers are at the 30. Like, it's a way different
analytic. I get it, but I also think that they believe, if we kick the field goal here, that's not going to be enough.
Yeah, I don't mind the fourth and one going for deep in their territory, because you're kind of putting the Packers in a tough spot. I don't like in the middle of the field where, you know, at the 30-yard line, and it's like one, it's not even really a one. It was like a 1.25 on that play. It felt ill-fated from the second they snapped the ball.
Here's Jared Goff last night. It says the Lions did plan to go for it a lot on fourth down.
We came into this game knowing we were going to do it maybe a little bit more than usual. Dan had mentioned that early in the week that, you know, he was going to really lean on our offense to make some things happen and certainly be aggressive on fourth down if the opportunity presented itself. And there at the end, I know he was kind of in between on what he wanted to do and obviously made the right decision.
See, I think that matters, right? I think it matters when the coach is saying, we're planning to do this, we're going to do this, this is who we are. So when it became crunch time, he followed through on it. This is who we are, and we're going to keep going for it. More from Goff here. Said Campbell challenged the offense to play well.
Division game, it's at home, it's prime time. Told us early in the week he was going to lean on the offense. You know, kind of challenged the offense, really, early in the week. Challenged myself, challenged, you know, the guys on the offense. Like, hey, it's your turn to hold your weight and carry the load and make this thing happen and make this thing go. And for me, that's like the greatest feeling ever. You know, you're like, all right, let's F and go and let's make this thing happen.
But you say that, like, who cares? I mean, the messaging, like, Goff knows Dan Campbell at this point. They clearly love their coach. They trust their coach.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to follow through on that message. Like, they're all in on Dan Campbell, and he's obviously a very great motivator,
sure,
great players coach. Like, he doesn't need to stay consistent. And I actually hadn't heard that sound. So Goff said he was in between on that last one.
Yeah.
Because it was a really close call analytically.
Definitely. It's fourth and inches, and you had a 38-yard field goal that you could have just kicked that. It's not like you were asking Bates to kick a 55-yarder.
Yeah,
38, even in this crazy year of kicks going totally
wonky,
that's automatic.
Right, so if they had kicked the field goal with 40 seconds left, so you're giving Jordan Love the ball at the 30-yard line with 40 seconds. Yeah, you know what, now I think about it, that is a kind of a lot of time, but he didn't have timeouts. So, you know, you catch the ball in the middle of the field, and then you're scrambling. So there is a situation that as long as you protect the sidelines, the Packers might get four plays.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what the Chicago Bears thought was going to happen against the Commanders. Again, like, you don't know. And Jordan Love is one of the top echelon quarterbacks in this league. So, and they had hit some explosive plays earlier. Like, I thought Dan Campbell was great on this one. And the other thing, too, about the constantly going for it on fourth down and being part of your philosophy, you get reps at it. You know, high-pressure situation.
Yeah, and the guy fell on his face. Like, what are those reps doing? Jared Goff literally takes a snap and falls like a crash test dummy.
Well, he stepped on his foot. He got tangled up. He didn't just fall like because he's clumsy.
I thought you had all these reps on it.
Well, maybe this helps when they have to go for it in an even bigger
stage. And what about the one before that? The one before that where they got stuffed, that play was a disaster too. That, like, from the get-go, it was like, uh-oh, this play is not going well.
But on the two before that, they scored touchdowns on fourth downs.
Again, different situations. Very different situations. They're deep in the territory. And even those, like, that's not a high percentage play. Like, I tell you, like, they're going to let the other teams get back in this game with some bad decisions. Because otherwise, if they just played straight up at home in Detroit, they're going to storm through the NFC. Just hit you with Montgomery. Hit you with Gibbs. Hit you with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Get Sam Laporta out there on one-on-one. They're the best team. They don't need a gimmick at all.
We are asking you today, is Dan Campbell more of a weapon or more of a liability? At 855-212-4227. You can also watch the show, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and on X at Maggie Gray. We say good morning to our amazing affiliates. We love you. We're obsessed with you. Sirius XM channel 158 as well. Okay, you're welcome to weigh in on that and all things that happened last night. I do want to mention, though, we have in college football championship weekend. This is it. All the big championship games pearl off, and I believe we had some oddly specific predictions for some of these championship games.
Yes, so it's going to be a fun weekend. Not all the games mean something. They do mean something, but not all of them are in win and you're in or lose and you're out. But let's get into it. I'll start. Oddly specific predictions for championship weekend. Let's start with the big one, Texas.
Got it. SEC championship.
Rematch against a Georgia team that killed them. I think this game comes down to something you've been citing all year long, the Arch Manning package. It is going to come down to an Arch Manning touchdown run. Very close game. I think from 7 yards out, Arch Manning makes a cut, fools the linebacker, gets in the end zone. Texas wins by 4.
Wow. So like we saw in the Texas A&M game, but just the final play of the game.
Final play of the game. No, not final play of the game. There's going to be 32 seconds left. So Carson Beck gets another chance and throws an interception at the last play.
To see our oddly specific predictions for the championship game. Well, you kind of took a little bit of mine there because my oddly specific prediction for that game specifically is Carson Beck throwing 3 interceptions. Now, he did against Texas the first time they played, but Beck, to his credit, has not thrown a pick in 3 straight games. I think in this game, he turns back into the pumpkin picker, whatever we call this, the pick thrower, and I think we get 3 more to match the first time these two teams played, even though Georgia did win that game.
I love that.
That's my oddly specific SEC championship prediction. Okay. Yeah. You have another one?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the Big Ten. Oregon, Penn State. Now, we know nobody trusts James Franklin in a big game, so this is not going to be a hot take to say that Oregon will find a way to win, but I think they're going to be trailing, and I think Dylan Gabriel is going to have 3 straight scoring drives, because it doesn't feel like he does that every game, where it's like the Oregon is like, they're messing around, and then when Dylan Gabriel needs to like storm them down the field in 8 seconds, he does. I think he gets red hot in the second half, and Oregon wins by 9. So 3 straight scoring drives.
Wow, okay. Mark it down, guys. My oddly specific prediction for this game is a little bit broader. I think this is the game where James Franklin wins it. And you want to know why? Is there's not one person on earth who thinks that Penn State's going to win this game unless you live in State College, PA, or spent 4 years there in your teens and 20s. Because James Franklin, nobody thinks he can win a big game because he doesn't win big games. And I think this is the no one saw him coming game. And everyone's writing him off. It's not even a big deal like it was before the Ohio State game. I'm rarely seeing people talk about it, write about it anymore. And I think this is where he surprises everybody.
Well, I would think, I would counter that argument and say it's not a big game in any way whatsoever. Because
the number 1 overall seed.
Yeah, and you're much better off if you're the 5 seed. So if James Franklin wins this, you know what the narrative will be like. Well, that game didn't mean anything anyway.
But he would have to get credit that this is a big win. It's the number 1 team in the country, and they're undefeated. This pokes the hole in the narrative.
I don't think so. I think, honestly, like, I think if they win this game, then the narrative will be, well, Oregon didn't really care about this game. And there is a sense of, because they're not receding, there is definitely a lack of urgency around this game. Like, the 4-5 or the 5 seed is almost as good as the 1 seed. That's something that I think they will fix. One more.
Yeah, go ahead.
This isn't even oddly specific. For the same exact reason, I think Clemson's going to beat SMU because I don't think SMU feels the urgency because they know that they're in. And I think that they are in. Unless they lose by 50, I just worry that SMU's going to come out flat. Does that logic make sense to you?
I don't think they're going to be flat, but I can see Clemson winning this game.
But not based on the fact that they're a better team or based on that they have more motivation.
I don't,
because one team is win and you're in, lose and you're out. The other team is win or lose, you're in.
Yeah, see, I also want to make sure that's true, though, if I'm SMU. Are we sure I'm 100% still in, even if I lose this game?
Well, that's a great question.
I don't trust that committee at all. I trust them when it comes to the SEC and the Big Ten. All those teams always get the benefit of the doubt. Do the ACC and the Big 12 get the benefit of the doubt? I don't think so.
A bye may also mean more to them than like an Oregon.
Sure.
Wait, say it again, EJ?
A bye may mean more to them than a team like Oregon. Like, this is SMU, small school. You know, they want less games to get to that championship.
But Clemson is going to be super desperate. Not that Clemson is very hard to predict right now. They have been a very inconsistent team. I don't know. I feel like the desperation is a big motivator. Like, Clemson is going to leave it all on the field. If SMU got left out for Alabama, I don't know what to do, Maggie. I don't even know. If a two-loss SMU, with the loss being the conference title game, that they're only there because they had the best record in the conference, that would be a crazy, crazy leap. And, oh, my God, that would make a lot of people mad.
You're right.
Yeah.
My last oddly specific prediction for championship weekend in college football is something that you and I have talked about quite a bit, which is whether or not the weather is going to play a role in any of the first round matchups when we actually get into this 12-team tournament. My oddly specific prediction is you are going to hear weather as a reason why the outcome happened for some of these games. And specifically, I'm talking about Tulane going to West Point to play in upstate New York. A team from Louisiana is going to go. I just looked up the weather, West Point. Yeah. The high is 36. The high on Saturday, and that game's at night, I believe.
Yeah,
it's 8 p.m. on ABC. That's Friday. Excuse me, that's Friday. What's the weather Friday? Tonight,
no, it's 30.
Oh, my God, it's even colder.
The wind chill is really bad, too, for that one. The wind is going to be whipping. But who cares about Army-Tulane? That game means nothing.
I'm just telling you.
The narrative
is the AAC, the American Athletic Championship game. We're talking about championship weekend. These are oddly specific predictions. I think that weather is going to be cited when Tulane goes to play Army and it's outdoor stadium at night and it's 30 degrees is the high. And same thing with Boise, the Mountain West champion. You have UNLV coming to Boise. Just check the weather in Boise tonight. High is 33.
Right, but you know the weather narrative of the season is something different.
We said championship weekend.
Well, yeah, but you are aware of the big weather story, right? That the college football playoff will have cold weather teams hosting games.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. I think we get that a week early.
No. But that had Tulane Army has nothing to do with the college football. I think this is it's
still
notable.
A championship game. Championship weekend.
Yeah, but it's right. But because Tulane lost to Memphis, that they're not part of this anymore. So
but Boise is still a big game for Boise and UNLV. This is a win and you're in.
You know, it's funny. I know, but I feel like UNLV has played up there.
They have. It's a tiny bit different. I don't remember Tulane playing at Army this late in a season.
Right, but that game doesn't mean anything. What happens when Arizona State has to go to State College? That is the story.
I know, but that's next week.
Yeah,
this
but
is this week.
But that's a real story. This is just a one-off. Like, that is like, oh, God, you know what I'm talking about. EJ, help me out here.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, I mean,
we've been talking about this weather setup for the playoff. You and I specifically have been arguing about it for 5 weeks.
Okay, so take Tulane Army away from it. Although there still is an outside shot here that Army gets in if things break right, maybe. But
really? Wait.
I thought maybe not. Yeah. UNLV, though, Boise, is this not a win and you're in?
Yeah, no,
it definitely
is.
I think it definitely is. I mean, I guess if Army crushes Tulane and UNLV wins on like a controversy, maybe the committee could say we'll put Army over UNLV, but that'd be hard.
I'm just saying, all year long we've been talking about what if Alabama has to go up to Indiana.
Right. And I'm like giving it to you a week early.
No!
But you're saying this doesn't have any kind of implications. It clearly does.
Well, Boise, it does.
Boise, they're playing for their lives right now.
Right, but also, too, and I will say this, and this might sound harsh, but Arizona State might have to go to a cold weather city.
Yeah.
Who cares? Arizona State's not winning the 12-team playoff. They happen to be in it, but they're not going to run this whole table anyway. So I'm just saying this narrative that whether it's going to determine the national champion is not a thing.
Okay, but let's not be so tunnel vision. If you're Arizona State, yes, you may not win the national title.
Right.
But if you upset Notre Dame in South Bend, if you upset Penn State at State College, that is huge for your program. Even if you lose the next round by 3 touchdowns, the fact that you would have pulled that off is such a program-shifting win.
Big deal.
I disagree that it would be meaningless just because you don't win the title. If you don't win the title and you're Oregon, okay, maybe that's meaningless. But if you're Arizona State, that means so much if you could pull that upset.
Well, I would argue that the fact that they decided the first-round matchups would be at the home stadiums, people are like, oh, that's going to possibly determine the champion because you could have like a real contender like Alabama going to a cold weather place. That did not pan out this year. Like, weather's not really going to determine the champion in any meaningful way.
Well, unless it knocks out a potential champion. Like, depending on if you think, I know you don't think Notre Dame is a legitimate title contender, or if you're someone out there who did think Penn State was a legitimate
right,
contender.
Right, but they'll host games, so it won't knock them out.
If they lose, it knocks them out.
Right, but they're helped by the cold weather because they'll have a warm weather team coming in. Right. That definitely won't knock them out. The cold weather will help Notre Dame and Penn State.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is, if there was an upset, you're saying it would have no. You're saying that these first round games being cold weather have no impact whatsoever. And I'm telling you that's not true. If Arizona State knocked off Penn State, that definitely impacts who wins the whole title because Penn State's out.
Yeah, you play spoiler.
Yeah, no, exactly. But the narrative was that a warm weather team would get screwed by having to go to a cold weather team. That's the opposite scenario. You're saying Arizona State is somehow going to go to a 30-degree stadium and win?
That's what I'm saying. That would be the upset. That would be the crazy part.
But generally, the weather hurts Arizona State. That's the thing.
No kidding.
They're saying the warm weather teams are getting hurt by the cold weather. You're saying Notre Dame or Penn State would get upset. They're the ones who love this cold weather scenario.
I know. Yeah. And that's why I'm saying UNLV playing Boise today or Tulane going to Army. That's why I think weather is going to be a factor. What I'm saying to you, you're saying that it could not impact the college football playoff at all. And I'm saying if there's an upset, it definitely does.
The weather narrative is, oh, man, are Alabama and Georgia going to get screwed by this thing? That's what we all know this is about. Yes, I understand this is a big game, but come on. This is not going to determine. The Boise State UNLV game is not going to determine your national champion unless Ashton Gentry goes on the run of all runs back.
Yeah, 855-212-4227. There you go. Oddly specific predictions for this weekend, and it gets going tonight. UNLV, Boise, 8 o'clock on Fox, Tulane and Army, 8 o'clock on ABC. Man, they kind of staggered those. I'm going to watch two at once. Come on, networks.
You have your whole TV set up. I see you're fine.
No, I know. I don't think most people look like they live in a Buffalo Wild Wings I do.
How are you going to... I was thinking about that. You have to do that, but you can't squeeze all the games in one day. Otherwise, we'll be up from like... Unless you could do a London game.
Yeah, right. Well, and I know Friday night's tough for TV. But Major League Baseball playoffs makes it work. Sometimes they'll have an NLDS or an ALDS game. They'll start at 5 o'clock Eastern time. And I think those pull pretty good ratings, and it's football. So it'll probably be triple.
Women's Final Four has done great on that Friday.
Yeah, right. They've done a good job. 855-212-4227. There you go. Get your two TVs, go to a sports bar, whatever. Both these games starting at 8 o'clock. Okay, coming up next, our pal Nick Costos tries to win us some money.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Big play last night. Dan Campbell at his own 30 goes for it on 4th and 1, comes up short. What pops into Andrew Perloff's head? Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Nick Costos, I cannot wait to have him on Friday and say, ha ha, Dan Campbell went for it and it failed miserably. And then things changed towards the end, man.
Yeah, well, they went for it 5 different times last night on 4th down, converted on 4 of them, the most notably last drive of the game, 4th and inches. Could have just taken the 38-yard field goal. Could have played it safe, but that's not what Dan Campbell and Nick Costos do. No, no, no. They are full speed ahead, and they go for it, they get it, and then they bleed the clock out and kick a walk-off field goal. Nick Costos is with us. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
What's going on, guys? Happy Friday. I did love to see that from Dan Campbell last night. I do wish that Matt LaFleur had done the right thing and let David Montgomery score, which he really should have done, just get the ball back, since I laid 3 with the Lions and watched the entire game only to push my bet. But great to be on with you guys today.
You know, it's a fair point, but I wonder now, Nick, don't you think this season people have been so hyper aware of when to score and when not to score? I feel like guys are going down almost sometimes when they don't even need to, just because out of the fear of making that mistake.
Sure, I guess like it's possible that if the Packers had like parted like the Red Sea to allow David Montgomery to score, maybe he would have gone down. But
like Isaac Arendo did it.
I would have liked to have seen it happen.
Yeah.
Let's try it out and see if we can get into the end zone here. But yeah, obviously, Dan Campbell did the right thing. I don't care what analytics says. If you can't get 1 yard with that offense and that run game and that offensive line, then I don't know what the point of this whole thing is. If they kick the field goal there, like Bates is probably going to make it. Okay, great. Now you give the ball back to Jordan Love. Like, what do people think's going to happen on that Packers drive? Like, they're not going to get into field goal range, and they have a kicker with a huge leg in Brandon McManus. I think Dan Campbell absolutely did the right thing. And for everyone clutching their pearls this morning and getting mad and yelling at clouds, they were not losing. Like, the game was tied.
Yep.
They weren't losing the game when he went for it. So I think it was absolutely the right move. And Perloff, I'll take this a step further. I'm actually angry about what happened last night because I think back to the end of the first half in the NFC Championship game against San Francisco when he kicked a 21-yard field goal with Michael Badgley. Yeah. Should have gone foot to throat in that moment and tried to put San Francisco away. So, yeah, like, he goes for it. Actually, not enough for my liking.
Nick, you're wild, man. All right, let's try to win some money.
Let me ask you a question. If the Lions play straight up against, say, my Eagles in Detroit in the NFC title game, and there's no fourth down shenanigans, just straight up, who is the more talented, better team?
But, I mean, what kind of...
Detroit. Detroit doesn't need to do these fourth down tricks. Like, they're just the better team. They're going to run it down everyone's throat. Just play football.
But this is the Lions. This is their identity.
They don't need to do any of that. They're so much talented. They have all pros at every spot.
I mean, that's like saying, like, a bird doesn't need to fly. It's like the reason why the bird's here. This is what the Lions have done since Campbell's been there.
It's because Brad Holmes' GM just picks nothing but all-stars. They have Jahmyr Gibbs.
Did you wake up this morning and be like, I got to issue the hottest take of all time? Dan Campbell gets no credit for the Lions' success.
Well, honestly, I think Dan Campbell is one of the reasons the Eagles have a chance in the playoffs. I think the Lions are a better team top to bottom, but he could make a mistake. And that is not a hot take either. A lot of people are worried about Dan Campbell.
So this is the question today. Is Dan Campbell a liability or is he a weapon? I say weapon. Perloff says liability.
Stop it. I mean, I guess it's a reasonable debate if, like, people, you know, reasonable minds can disagree. Just like, I mean, come on, man. Like, would you rather, like, Brian Daboll or Dan Campbell? Think about some of the conservative. How about this big spot? Would you rather have Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay making a decision or Dan Campbell?
Would you? Okay, it's going to be the NFC title game. You watched that last fourth down play. Jared Goff threw up all over himself. Jared Goff threw up all over himself in that fourth down play. He fell to the ground and luckily hit it off. Like, they're going to, just like last year's playoff game, they're going to feel the pressure on one of those fourth and ones. The Eagles have the push.
They got very, like, let's be honest, let's call it like it is. In the NFC Championship game against San Francisco, they were extremely unlucky not to win that game. Extremely unlucky.
The Brandon Ayuk catch
in that game. Off Kendall Vildor's helmet. You had the Josh Reynolds two insane drops, one on fourth down and one on a third down to extend the drive. Can you tell? I bet the Lions in the game to win.
How about the Gibbs fumble too? I was rooting for the Lions.
But it wasn't Dan Campbell's fault that they lost that game. Like, he should have gone for it on the fourth down at the end of the first. Oh, kick the field goal, take the points. Yeah, how'd that go at the end of the game?
Well, how about under pressure, Nick? Jared Goff turns into a baby giraffe. How many times do we have to see that? His legs are going all over the place.
They're 12-1.
All right, let's get to some point spreads, money lines, and props, which is why Nick Kostos, the host of You Better You Bet, joins us every Friday, and also just to talk and chat and argue about Dan Campbell. Nick, let's start with the college stuff. The championship weekend here. What is your favorite play of the weekend? I'll kind of open it up for you. SEC, looking at the ACC. What do you love here?
Yeah, I'll give you two on two of the bigger games. Let's start in the SEC. So when Georgia and Texas played in Austin back on October 19th, I bet Georgia in the game. And I won my bet, and it was really awesome. If you had told me before the game, Carson Beck's going to throw no touchdowns and three picks, I would have ran over women and children like Costanza to try and, like, change my bet to Texas. And Georgia was still able to win the game. Trevor Etienne runs for three touchdowns. So now we fast forward to the SEC championship game where maybe Trevor Etienne, Travis's brother, is going to play in this game. But if he does, he's not going to be 100%, right? And Carson Beck's on a heater right now for Georgia. 11 touchdown passes against zero picks in his last three games. I think it comes down to trust for me in this game. Do I trust Carson Beck in a big spot? I trust Carson Beck to not? Well, that's kind of where I'm going with this. Yeah. So I bet Georgia the first time these two teams played. I'll be on the other side here, and I'll bet Texas. I'll just say to everybody, like, you don't have to agree with me. You can like Georgia. If you like Georgia, please bet +3. Those are available right now with Georgia. And if you like Texas, please lay a -2.5. And I will close my handicap of this game by saying you can't trust anyone like Carson Beck with a full sleeve tattoo. I can't.
As someone who has a full sleeve tattoo, if you're not watching the show, Costos, we just made some oddly specific predictions for the championship games. And mine was that Carson Beck turns back into a pumpkin this weekend and throws 3 more picks in this game.
Maybe he plays really well. I think we'll probably be saying after the game, soy un perador. He's a loser, baby. We'll win our bets on Teal. Shout out to Beck. And Big Ten title game, Penn State and Oregon. Man, it's like, what's your definition? This is what the Supreme Court should be deciding. What's your definition of a big game?
We just had that discussion.
I love it. Is this, given the fact that if Penn State loses, they're still in the playoff.
Yeah.
Is this actually a big game for James Franklin?
No.
I agree. I think Drew Aller is going to be the best player on the field. I could be way stupid here, and I acknowledge that. It wouldn't be the first time. Won't be the last. I think Penn State's going to win. I bet Penn State against Ohio State, and I was wrong. I know that James Franklin never wins the big games. I've got a feeling about Penn State. It's my opinion. My opinion can be worth nothing. I will back it up, though, and I will bet on Penn State. And maybe Oregon wins by 20, and I look like a jackass. I'm willing to take that risk. I'll bet Penn State. I don't know if it's hashtag we are, like everyone likes them, but hashtag I am. I am betting Penn State.
Nick, it's a good logic, but the one small thing I got to nitpick, Drew Aller's not going to be the best player on the field. Tyler Warren's the best player on the field for Penn State.
Sure, but that doesn't... Yeah, the narrative is better if I choose the quarterback.
There you go.
Hey, what about motivation for SMU? Because they could lose and be in. Does that factor in your thinking on Clemson SMU?
You would really hope that they try to do their damnedest to win the game. People talk about like Las Vegas, like Vegas, like it's like the shadowy cabal that like, things, right? Which is like obviously is nonsense. The actual real life shadowy cabal is the College Football Playoff Committee. Who will do whatever it wants to do with like little to no explanation, and everyone just has to deal with it. So if I'm SMU, I'm not like thinking, okay, it's great. Yeah, we lose this game, we're still getting in. I wouldn't feel that way. Not with like money talks, politics talks, Alabama's money. If I'm SMU, I'm going all out to win the game. I do think Kevin Jennings is a big game running the football here after what we saw South Carolina and Lenora Sellers do in the regular season finale against Clemson. So I do like SMU in the game. But I mean, if I'm SMU, I ain't resting on my laurels here. Like, you got to go all out to try and win this game to get in.
Nick Costos joining us, the host of You Better You Bet. Okay, let's move to the NFL. And this one I'm wrestling with, Nick, so why don't we start off with it? It's the Chiefs. The Chiefs are a 4-point favorite right now. They welcome in the Chargers. Obviously, Chiefs beat the Chargers earlier this season, but I'm real tempted to take the points with the Chargers. How do you look at this game?
Yeah, so I want to offer this context, you know, dealing with I think a lot of really smart people that come on my show during the week. I feel like almost everyone that I really respect likes the Chargers in this game. Like, thinks the Chargers are going to cover the spread. So I always want to offer that context right before I'm going to disagree with it. So, like, all the smart people I deal with like one side, I like the other side. I like the Chiefs here in this game. Very quietly, the Chargers' offensive line has fallen apart the last 2 weeks. It's one thing to do it against the Ravens a couple Mondays ago. It's another thing entirely to do it against what was the worst pass rush in the league in the Atlanta Falcons coming into last Sunday's game, where Kirk Cousins handed them the game on a silver platter. Very lucky to win that game. And we have reached an inflection point now where everyone is so down on the Chiefs. I actually think that there's some value, like, numerically on the point spread of this game in betting Kansas City. So my strategy is going to be, my guess is, and it's an educated guess, I don't have to be right, but it's a pretty educated guess, I think that this point spread's going to come down a little bit before Sunday. Now, I don't think it's going to go to 3, but maybe this is like a 3.5 come Sunday night. I'm waiting to bet the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. So again, like, lots of people I respect. This is not like everyone's on one side of a game, which doesn't mean it's going to win, even if that's the case. But a lot of people I respect like the Chargers. I'll be on the other side. I'll lay the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, Nick, I have a tough assignment. Can you solve Jameis Winston for us? Because 6.5 points for the Steelers to lay against the Browns seems like a lot. Is Jameis going to have a good game? He struggled against him, but it was in the snow a little bit. Not that he struggled.
Well, he did win.
But yeah, you know, I mean, his numbers were not
I got to tell you, man, yeah. I'm all over you today, Perloff. Yeah. I'm not letting you get away with anything.
Well, I'm just saying,
after that Lions take.
He's had like 400 yards in every game or something crazy, but not against the Steelers. But I feel like 6.5, Jameis is hot. He's going to get the ball down the field. I kind of like the Browns here.
Okay, so but do you also acknowledge that Jameis could throw like 4 picks?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
He's, that's, okay. Someone's going to catch every pass he throws. It might be the other team.
He actually, just as a thought, like, I've been watching sports since 1990. He's actually a unicorn. Like, he's like a once-in-a-generation player. It's actually true. In my lifetime, we've never seen anything like Jameis Winston. It is a bit, I'm being serious. It's not even, that's not a joke. It's not shtick. It's the truth. So, Perloff, if what you're saying is true, it is. Then I think there's two ways to think about playing Jameis Winston games moving forward. Like, you can bet the Browns to win, or you can bet them to lose by double digits, bet them to lose by a lot, and bet the other team alternates here. Because I think he can play well enough on any given Sunday to beat literally any team in the league, or like it could go really poorly and the Steelers could win this game by 17. I like Pittsburgh in the game. I think the point spread's a little short. Cleveland did get them a couple weeks ago. Russell Wilson's playing awesome football. So I like Steelers -6.5. I'm probably going to play some Steelers alternates also. Steelers -9.5. Steelers -13.5 at bigger prices. And I would honestly say if people out there like the Browns, forget about the points. Bet Cleveland to win the game.
It worked out for me when they played Denver because I said Jameis Winston, end of the game, pick 6. That's why I like Denver,
I had the Browns. Yeah, it was really bad.
Sorry about that, but it's Jameis. Nick Kostos joins us every Friday from You Better You Bet. All right, Nick, we ask you every week for an upset pick. Now, this could be college. This could be the NFL. It's the artist's choice. Who do you have?
All right. Well, we talked about Penn State already, so I'll give you one in the NFL. And I will say, I don't love the upset board this week. I'm betting some underdogs. Like, I'm betting the Jaguars on the road in Tennessee. I bet the Jets +6, which is just, I can't believe I'm doing that again, but here I am. I bet the Jets +6.5 on the road in Miami against the Dolphins. I feel like Seahawks is a cop-out. I like Arizona a little in the game. So, you know, let's make Maggie unhappy. Sunday afternoon in Los Angeles. Buffalo Bills coming off a trouncing of the San Francisco 49ers in the snow. Josh Allen with his MVP moment on the lateral from Amari Cooper, and now they travel to L.A., where I think Jared Verse, Braden Fisk and company can have some success rushing the passer. Matthew Stafford slicing and dicing. I don't know if you'll slice and dice them, but I think the Rams are more likely to win the game than the betting market indicates. I bet Rams +4.5. This number is like 3.5 now. That's less to pat myself on the back and more to tell people like the betting market is moving towards the Rams in this game, which doesn't mean the Rams will cover or win. Just saying, I'll take the Rams as my upset special this week, Maggie, against your Bills. Heading into, by the way, because every NFL season right now is like MTV True Life. Everyone thinks we know, but we probably have no idea. Next week, Bills at Lions. Think about, and concurrently, while Bills-Lions is going on, Eagles-Steelers. Just think about all the games, the bangers coming up down the stretch, and how all our opinions will change as a result of the results of some of these games. I think Buffalo goes into that game, Maggie, off a loss coming up Sunday to the LA Rams.
I only have one thing to say about that, Nick, and it's, how dare you? And Buffalo and Detroit is actually your early Super Bowl preview.
It could be. I'll tell you what, like we've talked about, though, you better hope Kansas City gets knocked out before the Bills have to play them.
I'm taking the Chargers. This is why I think that Kansas City is starting to, they can't keep pulling these rabbits out of their hats.
I will say, let's say Baltimore has a nuclear offensive game against, I don't think it would happen. Let's just say it did happen. The Chargers beat them, whatever. And the Bills don't have to play the Chiefs. I think the Bills would go to the Super Bowl. I think they would win the AFC and get absolutely waxed by the Lions this is why betting's great, because we can put our money where our mouths are.
You want Josh Allen versus Jared Goff?
I want the Lions versus the Bills.
Okay,
I want Dan Campbell versus Sean McDermott. Perloff, who would you take, McDermott or Campbell?
He doesn't like Dan Campbell. Perloff, Nick.
I want Perloff to answer the question.
I like Dan Campbell. I just don't like the fourth down. I like everything they do.
Can you just answer the question or no, man?
Yeah, I would take Dan Campbell.
Yes, of course you would. Thank you.
But I do like Joe Brady.
What did the Super Bowl come down to last year? Mahomes versus Purdy. It always comes down to the quarterbacks, Nick. And if you want to bet against Josh Allen, against Jared Goff, hats off to you.
I felt like out of Kyle Shanahan not taking the ball.
Nick, you're the best. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. You can listen and watch Nick on You Better You Bet. Nick, have a great weekend.
Appreciate it. Do you guys also love you guys? Wish you, maybe not Perloff, but Maggie, I love you. Wishing everyone minimal sweats when he bets the absolute very best of luck.
We'll take it. One out of two. Okay, lots more to do, including Bogus is here with headlines, and we get you set for all the weekend's college football action. Welcome.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. If you missed our interview with Nick Kostos, contentious one today. Kostos and Perloff going back and forth. You can always download the Maggie and Perloff podcast or use the rewind function on the Odyssey app. Is a great way to hear Perloff and Nick arguing about Dan Campbell and everything else.
We always argue about Dan Campbell. And now you're on Nick's side, too, with this Dan Campbell should go for it every time.
I've been on Nick's side. Not now. I've been on Dan Campbell's side. We had the evidence from earlier in the show.
Yeah, I think Detroit should just run it down everybody's throat and go to the Super Bowl and get a championship in Detroit finally since 1957, break the title drought. Don't mess around. I don't need anything fancy. I don't need to rely on Jared Goff. I just want to win that Super Bowl.
I appreciate the Nick Hill turn just going after both of you guys. Like, Maggie, your Bills are getting smoked. Perloff, yeah. You know what you're talking about.
He's
Campbell's
crazy
the best.
About that, by the way. If the Bills and the Lions meet in the Super Bowl, Bills aren't getting smoked. That'd be a good game. Bogus just here with headlines for us. What's up, folks?
Well, we begin with Dan Campbell. Some call him the Dr. Ronald Weiss of fourth down decisions.
Deep cut.
He doesn't care about Perloff's feelings. He's got Maggie's support. He's got Kostos' support. And he has the Lions' support. That's all he needs. His team going for it on fourth down five times on Thursday Night Football. They converted four of them. Two of the first three conversions were touchdowns. The last one came on that fourth and short in the final minute, already in position for the tie-breaking field goal. They got that first down. That allowed Jake Bates to kick the 35-yard game-winning field goal as time expired. Campbell fired up after the 34-31 thriller over the Packers.
That's where we freaking thrive. You did it again. You freaking did it again. All right? It doesn't matter who's playing for us. It doesn't matter what's going on. You always find a way to win. That's what champions do. This is not happenstance, man. This doesn't just happen. This has been in the making, man. This has been in the making. All right? We are all supposed to be here together, man. We're destined for this. Just stay the course.
And ignore Perloff's objections.
I got to be honest. I don't know if Dan Campbell over potential Sean McDermott Buffalo Bills, he would have the coaching edge, but he definitely have the coaching speech edge. And it's not even close. Are you going to tell people who Dr. Robert Weiss is? Or are you going to let it sit there?
I thought people would remember from last hour that he's the Wayne Gretzky of vasectomies. And he recently passed away, so.
Just want to make sure we're all on the same page on this one.
RIP to the GOAT.
Yep. To all the GOATs, really. Him, Gretzky, Campbell. All of them. The Lions have won a team record 11 in a row. They are 12-1 for the first time in franchise history, and they clinched a playoff spot last night. The Packers, meanwhile, fall farther back in the NFC North, now three games off Detroit's pace with the Vikings in between. The Washington Wizards were once 2-2. They're now 2-18 after last night's 137-101 beating from the Mavs, the 16-game losing streak, matching the longest in team history. They had one just a season ago as well, but don't worry, rookie Bub Carrington is doing just fine.
I could be mad at our situation or how I'm playing or how we playing, but, like, I'm in the NBA. Like, I get to play basketball for a living.
Thanks, Bub. Luka Doncic, 21 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists for the Mavs in that win.
I thought where you were going with that was like, but I'm rich, so.
I mean, close enough.
Well, he's a rookie.
No, I mean, well, he's still rich, but.
And he's a baby, too. He's 19, right?
Yeah, he's a young guy.
No, at least he said, because I get to play basketball for a living. Not LeBron James saying, I get to wake up tomorrow and be LeBron James and you have to wake up and be you.
The problem with the Wizards is Kyle Kuzma's been in the league for like 10 years. Probably would say the exact same thing. I get to wake up and play basketball. I also wore a really big pink sweater to the studio, to the court. Anybody saw that?
Last thing from me, the Oakland A's, or the Sacramento A's, whatever they're called, signed Mets righty Luis Severino yesterday. 3 years and $67 million. That is the richest contract in team history, passing a $66 million extension that third baseman Eric Chavez signed about two decades ago. Guys, back to you.
I didn't understand this. Like, this is the time you're choosing to make a splash? I appreciate what Luis Severino was last year for the Mets. He was a great Yankee. He was a good Yankee. He was the ace at one point, but he is not appointment viewing. No one's coming to the ballpark because Luis Severino's on the mound.
No, this is the owner being the worst person in baseball.
Yeah, but it's 3 years, $67 million. That's like backup second baseman money.
Right, but this guy wouldn't spend money on anything, let his team be terrible, let the building fall apart, took the team out of the city, and then within weeks of officially leaving goes, here's the richest contract in team history. Whatever it was, he created the richest contract in team history weeks after bouncing out of Oakland.
It's a troll.
It's a $22 million a year contract.
That he didn't give out for a decade.
Still pretty small.
That's not the point.
It's not. It's
Team Costos, by the way.
It's a gigantic middle finger to everybody in Oakland is what it is. 855-212-4227. They didn't deserve that. Okay. Dan Campbell, genius or madman?